I'm old-fashioned. I like two sexes. Yeah, and another thing, all of a sudden I don't like being married to what is known as a new woman. I want a wife, not a competitor. Competitor, competitor.
Talk about a bit, this crying in the morning thing, this depression, you know, let's get that fixed.
That's what men think, isn't it?
What?
Unless you've got the answer, unless you can say, oh, I know this bloke in the Essex Road who could fix that, then there's no point bothering.
How do you rate women so well?
I think of a man, and I take away reason and accountability.
I love him. I love him. And I don't care what you think. I love him for the man he wants to be, and I love him for the man that he almost is.
What do people have rows about?
Money, sex, money. He wants, she doesn't want.
She wants, he doesn't want.
Women have always been a big problem to me, Dr. Fussbend. Are you listening, Doctor?
Yes, go on.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Dennis Prager Show. The second hour of the show every Wednesday is devoted to what I believe is the most honest talk about men and women and American radio. We have a Canadian on, I believe. She is Canadian. She certainly is. That correct? Are you Canadian?
I am. I'm from just outside Ottawa.
Well, I am, especially these days, a Canadophile. So it is a pleasure to talk to you, and let me tell everybody whom I'm welcoming. We very rarely have a guest on the male-female hour, so it's a credit to you and your book, and we'll see how much we agree or not, but that's not critical. What's critical is to understand what you have written here in The Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex, and the subtitle, and you thought bad girls have all the fun. My guest is Sheila Ray Gregoire. Is that correct?
Yeah, you said it right.
Well, I studied French. Sheila Ray Gregoire is the Dr. Ruth of the Christian world, said the director, a director with Family Life Canada. So obviously you come from, and I've obviously to those of us who know your book, you come from a deeply religious Christian perspective. But have written this Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex. Why did you write it?
I was sick of the idea that our culture has that sex is all about the body, it's all about jumping into bed with as many people as possible, and I just thought that is exactly the wrong message to give people. If we want people to have good lives and good marriages, they have to understand what sex is supposed to be about.
Now, is your title a sort of come on, or do you really mean it, that the bad girls don't have all the fun, that good Christian girls are going to have more fun?
Oh, absolutely. And I actually did studies about that, which confirmed what other studies have already shown. I mean, the National Marriage Project in the States did the same thing. But the women who are married and who are religious tend to rate their sex lives as much better than the single women who are having multiple partners.
I don't almost ever ask for studies because I'm usually not interested in them because, as I always say, they either confirm what common sense suggests or they're wrong. So, but give me a few that have cited this, because for many listeners it might be counterintuitive, and this is critical for you to respond to. I want you to respond on two levels here. First, the studies issue, but then I want you to respond on two levels. Why is it that so many people believe, and is there merit to it, that a lot of religious people are very uptight on sexual matters? And B, why is it that you believe that, in fact, it's quite the opposite, not for all religious people, of course, but for the religious wives having better sex lives?
Okay, I think that's about five questions there, but let me start with
actually three. Studies, why do people believe it about religious people, and what's the truth?
I think people get this idea that religious people are prudes, but we're not. We're just private. I mean, there's nothing wrong with sex, and religious people actually know how to celebrate that. I mean, sex was celebrated in the Bible. The Bible is not prudish. The only thing the Bible says is that you're supposed to keep sex to marriage. And I think that's why people think Christians have hang-ups, because we don't look at sex as only a physical thing. We look at it as something that's far deeper on an emotional and spiritual level. And that makes us seem like we're not really interested in orgasm, whereas that's not true at all. So I think that's one of the essential problems, is that people think Christians are just prudes because we don't sleep around. And so, let's see, that's question number one. Question number two, I think, was about the studies.
Yes.
You know, the best place to go, Linda Waite and Maggie Gallagher wrote a great book a couple of years ago called The Case for Marriage, and they looked at umpteen studies. Like, they took all the studies that had ever been done about marriage in the States, mostly in the States, but also some European ones, and they consolidated all of them in a book, and they looked at exactly that question in one of their chapters, is who has the best sex. And it was people who had been married for a number of years, who were very committed to each other and who tended to be religious.
And why do you think that is so?
Because sex is supposed to be great on these three levels. It's physical and it's emotional and it's a deep spiritual connection, like a deep knowing of each other. And when you take sex out of a committed relationship and just make it about having as many partners as possible, then all you've got left is the physical. And so it's a lot shallower. It isn't nearly as deep. And I think when you've been married to the same person for so many years, you can be truly vulnerable together. And that's why sex works.
Okay, so we had, there was the third question. So there was the studies. Oh, yeah, well, you did answer it. Why you think it is true. But the divorce rate, I am told, I don't know it for a fact, but I am told that the divorce rate among Christians, at least in the United States, is quite similar to that of non-Christians or non-religious people.
You know, this is one of those ones where you said about studies where it depends which study you look at. It depends how you define the studies, how you define Christian, and it also depends on the geographic area. The divorce rate in the South for Christians tends to be about the same as the general population, but if you go into the Northeast, or if you come up to my place in Canada, the divorce rate is lower.
Right, but it's lower in general in those places. So
no, I mean lower than the general population.
Oh, I see, lower than in the general population.
It's still not great. We still have a lot of work to do, which is one of the reasons I wrote the book.
So you wrote the book because?
Because I think marriages are falling apart, and even when they're not falling apart, I don't think they're as happy as they could be. And this is one of the big reasons, is I think women especially don't understand how great sex can be and don't necessarily embrace it for everything that it can be. And if women can just understand that, then I think marriages would be a lot happier.
The phone number is 1-8-PRAGER-776. I'm speaking to Sheila Gregoire. She has written this, published by Zondervan, a distinguished Christian press, The Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex. And if you agree or disagree or just have a comment, 1-8-PRAGER-776, 877-243-7776. I don't know if you're familiar with a book written by almost a counterpart of you who was Jewish, Shmuley Boteach, an Orthodox rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
But he wrote a book called Kosher Sex.
Yes, I've heard of that, actually.
And he argues a very similar thing, which is not surprising. One thing I learned very early in my life is how much traditional Jews and Christians have in common. And he writes, too, that if it's confined to the marital bedroom, then his argument is, and I'm curious your position, once it is confined to the marital bedroom, then you can be as wild as you want.
I would pretty much agree with that. I am a little bit uncomfortable with certain things, but I pretty much agree with that. And I really think Christians are having a lot more fun than most people give us credit for.
Right, but it's very important for both non-religious people and for religious people to know that religious writers on this, like you and the rabbi, do believe that once you do have the marital setting, the bedroom is... I mean, I don't know how much we can get into detail here, given that it is a general radio and we're not on HBO. But you said you were uncomfortable with certain things. And are you uncomfortable from a personal or from a religious standpoint?
No, I think from a religious standpoint. Like, one of the things I talk about a lot in my book is just how negative effect pornography can have, for instance, on a marriage, and specifically on men, although women are using it a lot more now, too. And so I don't think something like watching porn together, for instance, is good.
Right. Well, I think he would agree with you, and he would say that, so to speak, use your wife as your porn.
Yes.
Okay, good. So I think you would be largely in agreement.
And it's probably because we get all of our information from the same place. You look at Genesis, you look at Song of Songs, it says the same thing.
All right, fair enough. We'll take your calls, folks, and more questions for Sheila Ray Guiguar. The book is The Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex. There's actually another book by that name, so it can confuse you, but this one is by Sheila Guiguar, G-R-E-G-O-I-R-E. You are listening to the Male Female Hour on the Dennis Prager Show. Do you think religious people have better, worse, or the same marital sex? Hello, my friends. Dennis Prager here. And I'm reminded as well by Betty at the Prager store that people are already wanting copies of this show. All of the Male Female Hours are available on CD, by the way. I think downloadable, too. I don't know. You can call the store at 800-225-8584. 800-225-8584. My guest is Sheila Ray, that's W-R-A-Y, Gregoir, G-R-E-G-O-I-R-E, The Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex, and You Thought Bad Girls Have All the Fun. Written from a Christian woman's realistic perspective, I think. Is that a fair description?
I think so, but I don't think it's only necessarily for Christians. I mean,
if it were only for Christians, I just want to say on your behalf.
Yes.
If it were only for Christians, then you would be on a religious show. and no, I absolutely. I'm not Christian, I'm Jewish, and there are many secular listeners. So either, look, my view of all religious books and writers is if what you say is not applicable to everybody, mm-hmm. then it's not applicable to your group.
Absolutely.
It's either true or not true. It's either valid or not valid. So, of course, I think that, and I'm glad that you emphasized it, but I am well aware of that. That's why, you're on the show. I have another woman, I very rarely have guests on the Male-Female Hour, but there is a woman I have every season, so four times a year. And I don't even know her religious background. I think she's just spiritual, but I think she's brilliant. So it is to your credit that you're on, and to your book's credit. I just want you to know that.
Well, thank you. And I have to tell you, I am so thrilled because I've been quoting you in my columns for years. So this is wonderful to actually get to talk to you.
Well, I didn't know that, and now I'm doubly happy that you're on the show. Let me take some calls from around the country, at least this country, though we do have some Canadian listeners on the internet. Let's go to Frank in Atlanta, Georgia. You're on with Sheila Guiguar and Dennis Prager, Male Female Hour. Hi.
Hi, Uncle Dennis. How are you?
My nephew.
right. Now, my question is, I guess real quick, you know, raised both my wife and I, we've been married 10 years, raised in the church. We kind of got away from it like everybody does, and recently got back into it and in small groups and everything else and, you know, do a lot of mission work, whatever. But my question is, you know, I guess after children, we've got one son, he's 9, but, you know, 5-6 years ago, you know, sex just kind of died off. And I was curious what the, you know, Bible says about it, basically.
Well, thank you. And that's obviously a problem that afflicts vast numbers of marriages. I have a line about children, Sheila, mm-hmm. and that is that which is produced by passion then kills it.
Yes.
And so rather than what does the Bible say specifically, what do you write about it?
Well, in my surveys leading up to the book, I asked people how often they made love. And the women, I was surprised, but it came back that about 41% of women reported making love less than once a week. And I thought, oh, wow, that's not very good. So I better survey men and see what they think. And so I surveyed men, and sure enough, there's a lot of men who are really unhappy about the frequency of sex. Now, in about 25% of marriages, it's the other way, where she has the higher sex drive. But
what percent? I'm sorry?
25.
Okay,
about 25.
Go on. Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of men who are just really hurting. And so, you know, part of my passion for the book was to show women sex is a wonderful thing. It doesn't just make you feel great physically, although it does, but it connects you, it keeps you intimate, and it even helps you sleep. And so we women need to learn how to embrace it more.
I wrote a two-part column a couple of years ago.
I know, and can I quote you on it? I have a quote right here from it I wanted to read.
Wow. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, it says, "Why would a loving, wise woman allow mood to determine whether or not she will give her husband one of the most important expressions of love she can show him? What else in life of such significance do we allow to be governed by mood?"
That's a good line.
I thought it was brilliant, and it's very true.
See, this is, I want to make a statement here for all my listeners. Here I have a religious Christian. Would you call yourself evangelical?
Yes.
Okay. I have an evangelical Christian woman agreeing fully with what I wrote, and who hated me, and I mean hated me for writing what she just quoted, the secular left. Now, I just want to know who produces more happiness, just forget on earth, just in marital life, those who embrace the idea that mood should not be the only determinant of whether or not a wife has sex with her husband, or those who, like the Daily Kos, the biggest left-wing site in America, wrote, "Dennis Prager advocates marital rape." For that sentence, that was the headline on the Daily Kos.
Yeah.
So who brings more happiness, Sheila Gregoire or the secular left?
Yeah. Now, can I add a little bit of perspective on that quote, too, though?
Of course.
Is that I think one of the essential problems is that women do not understand how our libidos work. We think that if we're not panting and totally aroused, that we therefore can't make love. But studies have shown that in women, desire is a result of lovemaking. It doesn't precede it the way it does for men. So men are aroused first. Women usually aren't until you start. And so if women could just understand that if I throw myself into it and if I have a good attitude, my body will likely follow, I think that we would make love a lot more often. But instead, we're waiting to get aroused the way men do because that's what our culture tells us a sex drive is, and so we say no.
Bravo! Bravo! Actually, brava, but I didn't know if everybody would know that. No, that's exactly the difference. It just drives me nuts. It's all the antithesis. Everything you folks are hearing is the antithesis of what you're taught. I do believe that with your thinking, one will have a better sex life in marriage than with the thinking of feelings and mood should determine.
Yep.
Because it doesn't happen that way. You hit it on. See, food in that sense, food is the same as sex for men. You get hungry X number of times a day, whether you like it or not. Men get sexually aroused every 5 minutes, but whether or not they want to, that's just that. But that's not with women. And so who do you learn? This embodies so much more than just sex. This talk. Where there is more truth about life to be found today in religious life or in the secular world that dominates. Just, I would say this if I were an atheist. The Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex, Sheila Gregoire. You are listening to the Dennis Prager Show, the Male-Female Hour. Hello, my friends. Welcome back. Dennis Prager here, the Male-Female Hour, second hour Wednesday each week. Honest talk about sex. The points this woman is making are in her book, The Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex, Sheila Gregoire, Gregoire, an evangelical Christian Canadian, an ECC. Real pleasure to have you. There are so many terrific calls, but the time I know from so many years of broadcasting goes so fast, I have to get another question in. And here, I don't know what your answer will be.
Okay.
And I don't know how... Well, anyway, I'll find out. You want people to be chaste before marriage.
Yes.
fine. The question is, what is the definition, and I mean it utterly sincerely, what is the definition of chastity?
Okay, well, let me tell you what I would tell my daughters. I certainly believe in saving sex for marriage, but when you start to try to say, well, how far is far enough, and you try to say, okay, well, is it okay, you know, is oral sex okay, or is touching below the clothes okay? And I would say anything that is going to put you in a position where it's going to be very hard to stop is probably not chaste. So that would be
your criterion.
Yeah, I mean,
all right, that makes a lot of comments. I happen to think if I were an atheist, I think that saving intercourse for marriage is an ideal.
Yeah.
Okay, the people who don't are not devils in my mind or anything like that. But it's that there is something to that act, that specific act, that forgetting religion is mm-hmm. so bonding mm-hmm. that what do you lose mm-hmm. if you try to save that with the person you will marry?
Yeah, and you know, it's not even, I mean, my book is called The Good Girl's Guide, but I know that most people reading it did not save sex for marriage. I mean, even in my surveys of Christians, only about 40% were virgins on their wedding night. And when they started answering some of the long questions, almost all of them said, if I could go back, I would have waited. Even the ones who didn't actually have sex, a lot of them said, you know, we didn't have sex till we were married, but we did just about everything else, and I wish we hadn't. Because it is an intense bond, and often sex before you're married is very different from sex after you're married. And so when we think, well, I need to have sex first just to see if we're sexually compatible, it doesn't work.
Well, wait. All right. But again, sex meaning intercourse.
Yeah.
Because I want to be on record as saying doing nothing in that arena is dangerous.
Yeah.
I'm asking you, do you agree with that? I don't think people should do nothing.
No, I don't either. And I certainly did do something.
Well, no, I think people should, because the fact of the matter is that is a very important part of marriage. And if there is an instant incompatibility, yeah. I don't think that marriage is magic. If it's, you know, all will change after the wedding.
Yes, and you do certainly need that physical spark. You certainly do. But the problem, I think, here's what happens to a lot of couples, is that when you have sex, or even when you just don't have sex but you do a whole lot of other things before you're married, that can take over. And what you really need to do before you're married is work on your friendship, because the couples who do the best when they're married are the couples who can actually do stuff together.
I agree with that. I think everybody, even people with no religiosity, would agree.
Yeah, and so I think that's part of the thing you lose, is that you don't actually know how to connect in other ways. So, yes, I think that you should find out if there's a physical spark for sure, but those who did stay chaste till they were married did end up having a better sex life afterwards.
All right, let's go to New York City. And, David, you're on with Sheila Gregoire and Dennis Prager. Hi.
Hi, Sheila. I'm in my 40s, and I have some lady friends about my age who, for whatever reason, have been unable for their entire adult lives to find a compatible guy for a long-term relationship or marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're saying it's, to clarify your position, you're saying it would be more enjoyable or satisfying for these women to spend 10, 15, 20 years or their entire lives, possibly, without having any sexual contact, sexual relations, or would it be more satisfying for them to have occasional casual sexual relations? And I would also like to ask,
all right, hold on. We'll try to get an answer to that when we come back on the Male Female Hour. This is Dennis Prager.
He comes home to you. I'm warning you.
Reminding you, by the way, since Prager University was mentioned, that we have a number of videos on male-female relations as well as all other subjects. PragerUniversity.com. My guest is a lively woman, Sheila Ray Gregoire. You know there's another book of your title on the internet?
I know. I think it was published in 1998 or something like that.
Yeah, so people should know it's the Gregoire one, The Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex.
It's the one with the cute shoes on the cover.
You know, I want to tell you, this is so funny that you should have said that. I have been staring at the cover of your book the entire show, and I didn't notice the shoes.
A woman would.
Yes. Yes, that was my point. That it is eerie. What you, it's almost embarrassing how male I am, because I keep telling my friends that I have a feminine side, and then they fall off their chairs in laughter. But I really do believe I do. And one proof is that I love the male-female hour as much as I love any hour on politics or any other subject. Anyway, back to our questioner from New York. So he says he's in his 40s, not married. He meets, obviously, women who, for whatever reason, have not married. What do you prescribe to them?
Okay, well, if I can paraphrase this question, I think what he was saying is, are you really saying that people would be happier if they only had sex in marriage? Are you really saying that someone who's not married should be chaste? And, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I know the vast majority of people disagree with me, but I don't think it's me who's saying it. I think that that is what is laid out in the Bible, and so whether you're Jewish or Christian, that's what it says. But I also think there's something far more fundamental going on here, which is when we have sex with multiple people, we make it only about something physical and we diminish it. It's not about that deep connection anymore. And once your brain takes that leap and your body takes that leap so that what becomes arousing is like multiple partners, it can actually be very difficult to enjoy sex once you are married because it loses that ability to bond
together. To be honest, I think that that's truer for women than it is for men.
Yes, I think it probably is. But I think that's also one reason why women have a more difficult time in marriage seeing sex as a positive thing.
Because of premarital experiences?
Yeah, and because it's associated with something which is only physical. So it's like if I'm not in the mood for an orgasm, if I don't want to feel that way right now, if I don't want to get energized to feel that way, then therefore I don't want to make love, because we've forgotten that it's about that deep connection as well.
Right. Now, would you allow for this comment, once you are in a marital and even spiritually marital relationship, that sex in the bedroom at times can be just physical?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. I want people to know that because, you know, there are visions of very religious people making love with a Bible in their hands.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you clarified that. No, absolutely. And there's a whole, actually, my book is divided into three sections. I've got a section on how to make it great physically and what to do when things go wrong physically. And then there's how to connect on those other levels, too. So absolutely, there's going to be times where you just hot for each other and you just go for it. And that's great. but
you know what? I'm so happy you said that, because another common perception offered in the secular world of the religious is that they're anti-joy.
Yeah, and I don't get that, because I think if you look at Christian marriages, we tend to be way happier.
It's particularly odd. I don't want to get into politics, but I will for one moment. I mean, it's particularly odd given all the things that are banned by so much of the, at least the more left-wing secular world. I mean, the pleasures of life that they, they don't want us. I mean, whether you agree with me or not, I just want to say the list of joys that they prohibit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we can't even in California, we can't even have fireplaces in our homes anymore.
Really?
Yeah, that's correct. I'm glad you reacted that way.
My aunt and uncle got out of California about 12 years ago and said it was the best thing they ever did. So.
Well, it's painful because I live here, and it was once a great state, and there's still a lot of great people in it. But if there's an anti-joy crowd, the left makes the evangelicals look like hedonists.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's because what the left essentially wants, if I can get a little political here too, is to take down morality. And so what they're trying to do is to say that anything goes in the moral sphere, and they've replaced regulation with morality. But in so doing, they say that if you don't like anything goes, like with sex or whatever it might be, then therefore you're bad. And it's not true, because we're the ones having more fun.
Well, it seems to be that way. And by the way, I just want to say to David's call, when you say no sex before marriage, again, you're talking about intercourse and anything that would make intercourse inevitable, but yeah. not nothing. I just want to restate that for people who might just be tuning in. Okay, Adam in Los Angeles, you're on with Sheila Gregoire and Dennis Prager.
Hi, Dennis. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks.
I listen
thanks.
To you all the time, and I want to thank you for this topic. It's always interesting to talk about sex.
there's a man for you. Go ahead.
The topic of not having sex before marriage is okay. I'm okay with that. But what if a person has been having sex with multiple partners in the past 10 years, and now he's in a position where he likes to be satisfied in a certain way?
Yeah.
How does he recognize that he will be satisfied if he's not having sex with this person until marriage? Yeah.
Well, without knowing the certain way, it's very hard for Sheila to answer that. I'll let you when we come back, but I don't know what the certain way means. Well, I'll let you answer it when you come back. I think I know what he means, and I think she knows what we mean. We'll be back momentarily. The book, The Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex. This, like all male-female shows, available at DennisPrager.com. All right, my friends, before we take that, I just want to summarize some calls here. The hour goes fast, Sheila, doesn't it? Sheila?
It really does, yeah. Yep. It really does.
Stacy in Atlanta, Georgia, is Christian, married 30 years. Sex plays a very important role in her marriage. Mike, Sacramento, California, married 30 years. And I wonder if Mike and Stacy... No, that didn't work. Yeah, it could be. Maybe they have a long-distance marriage. Also married 30 years, known his wife since they were 14. Sex life is wonderful and is thrilled. Anyway, to answer Adam in L.A., let's assume for the sake of discussion that he was speaking about the oral variety. And okay. He says, all right, so he likes that. And if he has nothing before marriage, how's he going to know? What if he discovers, and it's a very real question, what mm-hmm. if he discovers the wedding night or that week and the honeymoon that she finds that yucky?
Okay, you know what? If that's your main concern, getting married, you shouldn't be getting married.
Well, it's not his main, but I think it's a legit concern.
But here, let me back up for just a second. I think billions of people on this planet have had sex. I'm not sure how many have actually made love. And I think when we start doing this whole thing, what we're really doing is we're depersonalizing sex. And we're saying, okay, I need this for myself. And the real aphrodisiac is to actually make love, to feel that deep connection. And one of the reasons I think our society is becoming so pornographic is because they have nothing else. When you take the connection out of sex, all it is more and more physical stuff. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that kind of sex, the oral variety, not at all. But when you get married, the people who are the most enthusiastic and the most free in bed are those who are in committed relationships, who know they are loved. So if you go into a marriage and you really love your wife and you shower her with affection and you make an effort to make love, not just have sex, not only will a lot of this stuff happen, but you'll also find that being in bed with her is a lot more fun than you ever thought it could be because you're focusing on the connection.
By the way, it's a subject for a longer time, but Adam... I don't think that there's anything that should stop you from asking her.
Yeah, absolutely. If that's something that's really important to you, I guess what I'm just saying
I know what you're saying, and I think there's truth. On the other hand, you yourself have emphasized that the physical is part of it and is a big part of it. Anyway, you've been terrific, and I advocate your book, and it's been a joy making your acquaintance.
Well, thank you. And, you know, in February, I did this whole 29 Days to Great Sex series on my blog. And if people want to go back and find out how it can be great for you, it's right there at tolovehonorandvacuum.com.
All right. Wonderful. Good luck to you. This has been the Male Female Hour at the Dennis Prager Show.